desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. Lord, very, very directly gave me this message this morning, and I don't know exactly and why He gave it for now, but this is what the Lord just, I felt very impressed of the Lord to share this morning. So I trust the Lord will meet with us, and as the Lord gave me this message, I remember preaching on something very similar many years ago. Actually, I remember in West Virginia, the revival many years ago. But I'd like us to begin over in Luke in the 5th chapter. We'll begin reading with the 27th verse. It said, "After these things he went forth," speaking of Jesus, "and he saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him." Want us to keep in mind, now Jesus had already called Peter and James, Andrew and John to follow him. They were fishermen. And there is a big difference between fishermen and tax collectors. Tax collectors he was a publican. He was a tax collector. And understand, these people were collecting taxes for the Roman government. So if you're a Jew and you are under bondage to the Roman Empire, and there's a man supposed to be one of your own, and he's actually working for your oppressor, the sentiment and feeling was not real favorable to people like Matthew. People, I don't hear a lot of people just loving the IRS either. But that's similar to what it was. He was collecting taxes, but it was for an oppressive government. But Jesus walking down the road, and there were multitudes all around Jesus. In all of the hubbub and the activity around him, he looked down the way and he saw a tax collector, someone that others would maybe despise and want nothing to do with. And Jesus stopped what he was doing and he gave him a call and he said, "Follow me." And Matthew left. He got up and left his table and he followed the Lord. And when he left his tax collecting to follow the Lord, he came into contact with some ignorant fishermen. Came in contact with people that were very different than he. I would imagine that Matthew was probably an educated man. I would imagine that he'd had schooling and to fill the place, the position that he was. And so now he's put in very close contact with people that had been out fishermen, that in other passages of Scripture it talks about them being ignorant and unlearned. And now all of a sudden we have this core group of people that are following Christ that are so different in their personalities and in their backgrounds and in their perspectives of life. But the fact was that when Jesus looked on them, he saw people that he needed. In its simplicity this morning, I want you to know in the Lord this morning, the Lord needs you. He needs each one of us. In our uniqueness, God created all of us. God created us, and I didn't have any choice into my DNA, how my DNA was. I was given that by my parents. I didn't have a choice how I looked. I didn't have a choice in the way that I was disposition was predisposed by my genetics. I didn't choose that. I was given that, but God created all of us this morning. And the Lord does not want us to look at ourselves in a way that we think, I'm not worthy of anything. You are precious in the sight of the Lord, and He needs all of us. And God has a special place in the body of Christ for each and every one of us. And He looked on Matthew and said, "Follow me." The Lord wants to use each of us how He created us. The Lord fine-tunes us. The Lord works in our life and changes us by His Holy Spirit. But when we are changed by the blood and by the Spirit of the Lord, I am still Michael. And you are still who you are. We are still unique, but He changes and molds and shapes us that we become more and more into the image of Christ. But we still have different personalities. I might still like green and you may still like red. And that's okay. The Lord created us with differences.
But he created in that core group of his discipleship. He called people from different walks of life. And when those people came together, we could look at that as a weak unit because they were so different. Here's Matthew, who the people tended to not want anything to do with. And he could have looked at the others and thinking, these guys are ignorant and they don't know very much. And I really don't want to be with the working man. I don't want to spend my time with people that have calluses on their hands. The Lord had a need and a purpose for all of them. And in coming together, they were not weaker because of it, but they were stronger because of it. Because of their differences, because of their uniqueness, the Lord had a special place in the body of Christ for them to fill. This morning, you have a special place to fill in the body of Christ. It is not for a body or a board or a commission to assign what your place in the body is. But folks, the Lord has a place for you to fill in His kingdom that nobody else can fill just like you. Because you have unique ability this morning. And sometimes people take the perspective, but I have unique weaknesses. The Lord can take our weaknesses and He can use it to the glory of God. He can take your strengths. And He can use your strengths to help balance out my weaknesses. And all of us are important in the kingdom of God. You are needed this morning. Do you remember over in the 11th chapter of Mark where Jesus was, they were getting ready to go into Jerusalem, and Jesus was going to ride in on the back of a donkey, remember? And He sent His disciples. And He said, you're going to find a colt tied to a tree, and I want you to take that colt, and I want you to bring it to me. And He said, if any man asks you, why are you taking this colt? Tell them this, the Lord hath need of thee. That was the message, verbatim, that the Lord gave the disciples. The disciples went, and they found the colt, and they took the colt, and the owner said, why are you untying the colt? And their response was, the Lord hath need of him. And they let him go. This morning, again, this is nothing that you all haven't heard. It's nothing there haven't been Sunday school lessons here about. It's nothing I haven't preached about before, even right here. But the Lord has need of you this morning. The Lord has a place that you can fill. And if you don't fill it, the rest of us are going to suffer. When we don't fill our place in the body of Christ, the whole body suffers. But it's even very personal. Because let me ask, and I'm not a dog owner, and those of you that have dogs can, you know the facts of this, but what happens to a hunting dog that stays penned up all the time and never gets to hunt? Is that a happy dog? What happens, Brother Randy, what happens to a tractor that never gets used? It deteriorates. In other words, it does better. You'd say, well, it's resting. A tractor does better to some extent, I guess, when you're actually using it from time to time. We were created this morning. We were born to serve the Lord. And when we don't serve the Lord, we're not going to find true happiness and fulfillment in life. And the enemy likes to make us think, and again, especially you children, young people, the enemy likes to make us think, if I can go out to the world and live life like I want in the flesh, that's what's going to bring fulfillment. That's a trick of the enemy because we were created to serve God. And we're never going to find real fulfillment and real peace in our life with God until we give our life to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And I'm not going to drag my nets behind them. I'm not going to keep going back to my table of custom. But Lord, I'm going to leave everything and I'm going to follow you. You want a happy dog? Let them hunt. You want a tractor that lasts longer? Use it. Work it. Same thing with horses, I understand. You have to use them what they were made to do. Let them do their work and they're going to be happier. It's not abuse to hook a horse up and let it pull a buggy. Or let it work. That's what they were created for something. They find greater happiness if you want to put happiness on a horse. Let them do what they were made to do. With us, it's the same way. And if we're not careful, we can shy away from the place that we're to fill in the body of Christ. Sometimes it's because maybe we feel inadequate. Have you ever got down to pray and you felt a tug in your spirit to pray, but you thought, well, someone else can pray better than I can. Do you realize that we all suffer because of that? It's not about the eloquence. It's not about doing it like someone else. God wants you and me to pray, to live, to work for Him according to how He has made us in our uniqueness. A child that has no responsibility and has no work to do, is that a child that you find being real happy? You children, if you will, I know sometimes you don't like it when your parents may give you work to do. But the fact of the matter is, do you know what life would be like if you never had any chores or responsibilities? You realize there's a sense of personal satisfaction to accomplish work. It brings about a fulfillment. Well, we were born to serve the Lord, and it seems like we're living in a time where a lot of people are losing their purpose. They're losing their purpose, and when people lose their purpose, they lose their reason for being. Why am I here? Maybe it seems like I'm discouraged. Maybe we begin to lose hope. And when we lose hope, we lose direction in life. People can even start losing desire for life if they don't have something to live for. If there's nothing to live for, you begin to lose desire for life. It's like, I wish I were just dead. What am I accomplishing in life? What am I here for? Part of the burden the Lord put on my heart was just to remind us this morning that you are needed. And God has a reason for each and every one of us. He has a place for us to fill. And if we don't know exactly what that place is, I can still serve the Lord because I know I was born to do that. And Lord, I'm going to give you my heart. And as the Lord has more for us to do in His kingdom, He's going to open doors for us. We don't have to break the door down. The Lord's going to open doors for us, but let's not sit back and get spiritually lazy to the point that we lose our direction in life. We lose our purpose, and pretty soon we start losing contact with God because I don't know what I'm doing. And we begin to feel worthless. And a person that feels worthless starts being not good for a whole lot because it's something in their mind. God has purpose for us this morning. And I think about, and we won't take the time to turn to it, but remember the young lad that had the five loaves and two little fish? Why do you think he said little? I think he was bringing out the point that it wasn't much. There was a multitude that needed to be fed, and Jesus said, well, let's feed the multitude. And the disciples said, we don't have any food. It's like, well, go find what you can. And they came back, and there's that little boy, the little lad that offered his little lunch, five little barley loaves. We're not talking about big loaves of bread now, okay? We're talking about probably just a small little bun or muffin or something, and two little fish. And Jesus took it, and when He broke it and blessed it, it multiplied. We may say, I don't have much to offer to the Lord. Do you know that when we place ourselves in the hands of God, He's going to accomplish with it what He wants. It's out of our hands. Maybe I don't have a lot to offer. And maybe I look around and I don't know. I know some people struggle with having pride and some people struggle with feeling a very low self-esteem. Both of those are wrong. Both of those are out of balance. The Lord doesn't want us to be exalted in our thinking we're better or I can do it better than anybody else. But nor does He want us to feel like I just can't do anything, I'm not worth anything. But rather it's, Lord, whatever I am and what I have, I want You to have it. And I'm going to do the best job that I can, and sometimes I wish I could do it better, but Lord, my heart is to do what You've given me to do. And sometimes we may make a mistake. I know Brother James mentioned one time, he said, it's better to try and fail than not try at all. And it is that, Lord, if You've given me a job to do, maybe I can't do it as good as someone else, but Lord, I'm going to do it with all of my might, my heart's right. God will bless that thing. He'll bless it if we'll place ourselves in the hands of God. If you this morning, if we will place our two little fish and say, Lord, I don't have much, but I'm giving it to You. Do you know that little boy had to walk away with a smile on his face? And he looked back and saw the multitude eating. It's like, those were my fish. Those were my loaves. It wasn't like, this is what I did. But I'm sure he was fulfilled. I brought a little lunch and I gave it to Jesus. And look what he did with it. You want fulfillment in life? You're needed. God needs you this morning. Let's not give up hope. Let's not feel like sometimes people get feeling like whether I show up or not, nobody cares. I just want to remind us this morning, people care. We care. And there is something about being needed that gives purpose. And I don't think I'm alone. I know I'm not alone in feeling that way. But do you know when there are some jobs, if there's a job that people are working on and there's enough people doing it and there's really no need and you're kind of standing around. Have you ever gone to a place like that? You're kind of standing around. There's nothing to do. And I would almost rather not be there. Because if there's something I can do to help and get involved, but if you're just sitting and not doing anything, you feel kind of out of place, don't you? I'm kind of almost embarrassed sitting around with your hands in your pocket and looking around because I'm not needed. But when you're needed, it gives you purpose. In the kingdom of God, you are needed this morning. And there's a place for all of us. And it's a different place. There's different gifts in the body. There's different strengths. The body of Christ needs your personality. The body of Christ needs your background. The body of Christ needs who you are this morning. But it's not going to do anybody any good. And actually, we can do damage with what we have unless we say, Lord, I'm putting it in your hands. So by myself, I can't do anything with it. But Lord, all that I am, I'm placing in your hands. And you are needed and you are important this morning. You are important to the Lord. And if you ever get to the place that you begin to lose hope and you think that what's the purpose of life, And again, you may say, Brother Michael, how do you know this? Because I have felt that way before. I'll confess that to you. There have been times it's like, you know what? What good am I doing? And you can begin to lose direction. We can begin to lose hope when it seems like, what good am I doing? What's the point? What's the purpose? You know, the Lord has a purpose for all of us this morning. And He wants to revive and renew our burden and our purpose. Because we're all needed for the Lord. He has a place for all of us to fill. In the hands of God, He will accomplish His purpose. There was a story, a parable that has been told for many years to educators. And I'm just going to read it to get it accurate. But it said there was a group of animals deciding to improve their general welfare by starting a school. And the curriculum included swimming, running, climbing, and flying. The duck, which was an excellent swimmer, was deficient in other areas, so he majored in climbing, running, and flying, much to the detriment of his swimming. The rabbit, the superior runner, was forced to spend so much of his time in other classrooms that he soon lost much of his famed speed. The squirrel, who had been rated A as a climber, dropped to a C, because his instructor spent hours trying to teach him to swim and to fly. The eagle was disciplined for soaring to the treetops when he had been told to learn how to climb, even though flying was most natural for him. The point? We are all different. We have different strengths. And we are going to get into trouble when we try to be like everybody else around. When we strive to say, well, I'm strong here, I want to be like Zachary. And I'm going to just try to be like him. If I'm not careful, I will lose. I will lose the strength and the uniqueness of how God created me. It doesn't mean we shouldn't work on our areas of weakness. That's not the point this morning. But the point is, let God use who you are. And don't be discouraged when you look around. Because you know what I find? And maybe you haven't found it that way, and that may just be difference of perspectives. But I've listened and observed, and it seems like sometimes people that are very quiet and very laid back and very just, you know, you have to kind of pull to get something out of them, they tend to sometimes admire people that are a lot more talkative and just involved and just... Have you noticed that? in the people that are more talkative and sometimes you wish they would be quiet and are maybe involved in a lot of stuff, they admire those people that are just, you know, very laid back and quiet and easygoing. Do you know the Lord, while both of those extremes that I'm talking about need to stretch, you know, need to stretch a little bit, do you recognize that God has a special place for both of them to fill? That they can't, they don't need to feel guilty because I'm not like them or they're not like me or they're... God wants to use who you are and you're needed. That's important because do you see then, like just like the disciples, in coming together as a body, that there is strength found. There are people that can relate to certain kinds of people. In other people, there's just a little bit of a disconnect and it takes a different personality. That's why the Lord needs all of us working together. That we're not working at cross purposes. We're not, it's not Peter against Matthew, but it's that, you know what, together we can go out with a commission to reach the world, the Lord using our strengths and even our weaknesses, but they're all needed. Over in 1 Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin reading with verse 12. We will. He said, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." The body of Christ, made up of many different members, he gave the analogy of the body. Now let me ask, what is it if you walked along, short of sounding a little gruesome, and you saw a hand laying on the road? Would you say, oh, there's a body? No. That's a hand. It's separated from the body. You know, a hand that's separated from the body isn't good for anything. And you go along and say, oh, there's an ear. There's an ear over there and there's a hand over there. And oh, the foot's over here. A dismembered body is an unfunctioning body. You know that this is the devil's purpose and design is to cause the body of Christ to be a dismembered body. And there's a foot over there, and there's a hand over here, and a nose over there. Pretty soon you look around, there's no body. There's just pieces of it. The body of Christ was designed to come together with different parts that have different functions, that working together, they can accomplish something. That is to be the body of Christ. And then in verse 13 he said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized unto one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have made all to drink unto one Spirit." You realize that we all come, Jews and Gentiles, different backgrounds, different races, different nationalities, different education, different perspectives. The Lord wants us all to come together. And when we have drunk of the one Spirit, you see, He changes our nature. This is where the lion truly lays down with a lamb. It's still a lion and it's still a lamb, but their nature has been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Their nature has been changed because the blood has been applied. That's what the body of Christ is. That someone can sit down and say, oh, you all are just one family. Do you know that we're not all of one family? But we can all be of the family of God, that we partake in of the same Spirit. But when I look at the Jew, the Lord does not want there to be a wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles. In the early morning church, there was for at least about 30 years before it was really broken down. And the Jews and the Gentiles looked on each other with some suspicion because they were so different in background. They were so different in understanding. Do you realize, I know you do, that we can experience that with people we meet. It's like, oh, where are you from? Oh, you're from there. Okay, and there's this separation because of different background, different education, different families, different, and those things can cause the divide. But the Lord wants those to come together as one in the body of Christ. Functioning, working together. And people, I know, and again, I don't want to just name out the young people. I'm not picking on you. And I know it seems like the last couple of months I've said things directly to you all a lot, but understand, I know sometimes there's a temptation when you look around. We are a small body of people. This is where we live. We're a small group of people. But on the other hand, you know, the body of Christ is a wonderful body. And I know sometimes there's a temptation, maybe look around and say, it doesn't seem like there's anybody that has anything common with me. Seems like that everybody's, you know, has their different little niches. And sometimes, because we're not all that big, you may seem like, well, there's really nobody I have anything in common with. But do you realize this morning that we have more in common with children of God than we do maybe someone that has a similar interest in a hobby that we have or a similar personality? Because we are bound together in the same spirit. And this is the reason why we can feel closer to God's people than our own family sometimes. When our family members who are not saved, and I know sometimes that people feel like there's a wall, but do you know it's not a wall necessarily, but when you are saved, you have so much in common. Are we all here together this morning because we're all alike? I mean, is that a fair question? We're not, are we? We're very different here this morning. And I know a lot of you, you know, we could group it into about three or four families here this morning, five, whatever. And we could say, okay, you all are similar and you're similar and you're... But why are we here? Because we have a common cause, a common purpose, a common God, a common spirit, a common baptism. We have more in common this morning than other people that maybe have a similar type of job or occupation. We have reason to be together this morning. And that's the purpose the Lord wanted His body to be in unity and reconciled. And it doesn't mean that there's not differences. It doesn't mean that we're always going to just see everything the same because of the differences of background. But He said we're bound together. A unified body working together accomplishes more than by ourselves. What can a hand do? A dismembered hand. How good is it? Doesn't do any good unless it has the other body parts to help it to function properly. You're needed this morning. The Lord, you are valuable this morning to the Lord. Each and every one of you, you are important. Verse 14, He said, for the body is not one member, but it is many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where is the smelling? Understand that there is a temptation that the enemy would like to come on all of his people to feel isolated. And I wouldn't ask for a show of hands this morning, but I just wonder, you think we'd be surprised if we actually had a show of hands and asked how many of us have ever felt isolated? I dare say that probably most of us would probably say yes. There have been some times I felt very alone and very isolated. Knowing that, and I'm surprised some of the people I hear say that. You know, you look at them, you might think they're the ones that are just always right in the middle of stuff. And to hear them feel that isolation, it lets me know that the enemy's the one that tries to make us feel that way. Tries to make us feel like, you know what, nobody really cares, and if you're here or not, it doesn't really matter. That's the enemy that makes us feel that way. Because you're needed this morning. You're important. And he said here, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. In other words, I'm not like you, so I'm not really part of the body because I'm not just like you. You weren't intended to be like every other part. I wasn't intended to be like every part. The Lord made us differently, but as one body in uniqueness. And isolation kills. Have you found that? When we isolate ourselves, it has a way of zapping us of our life. A hand, dismembered hand, it's dead. But when it's associated to the body, I mean, how many people think their little toe is very important? I know I've used this illustration here, but when I almost cut off my little toe, I found out how important it is. And you know, my little toe is covered. You all don't see it. I have shoes on this morning. Nobody knows if I even have one or not. I do.
It's, you can see it's almost been cut off, but I have it. What, who cares? It's covered up. Nobody ever sees it. But if you lose it, your balance is affected. I couldn't walk very good. I hurt it. I preach in my socks. I couldn't wear shoes. Do you realize that something you could say, that's just a little member? How valuable is it? It affected the whole body. It affected the whole body. You are important. And you may feel sometimes like, well, I'm just a little toe and it's covered up in a sock and nobody knows what I'm doing and it really doesn't matter anyway. If you ever hear that voice telling you that, I just want you to know that that's the enemy and that it does matter. And you are important. And there's something about isolation that we need to begin also to recognize our need of others as well. Because you are needed. But when we begin to feel isolated, sometimes people I've seen take a mentality of, I don't need anybody. I can make it myself. I don't need anybody. But do you know the reality of it is that we do need each other. Because if I'm the hand, I need some feet to get me to where I can work. If I'm the eye, I need some ears to be able to hear. We need each other. And when we begin to recognize greater how important others are in my life, then it can start breaking down those walls that cause me or you or us to feel isolated from each other. The devil works when we are isolated. The devil's purpose is to get the weak animal out of the herd, isn't it? The lion or whatever's after a herd, it's to get the weak one that's off to the side. But if you're right there in the middle, and you know, some of us feel more comfortable on the side. If I go sit somewhere, I don't like to be hemmed in. That's just personality, I guess. It's just the way I'm. I like to be where I can get out. I like to sit on the end. And if you look where people sit, why do we always sit on the edges? How many people say, oh, I want to go sit in the middle? Some people may do that, and that's fine. I like to fill a little space. On the plane, I don't even like to be against the wall. I want to be able to get out or just have a little openness, a little space. Do you know we all have different personalities? But if we begin to feel like I just want to be on the edge of the body, and we begin to get isolated, that's where the enemy works. So we need to be very careful. That's where the enemy works. Let's read on. He said here, before we do, let me just say this. This is one of the reasons why it's very important for us not to compare ourselves among ourselves. You know, kind of this competitive ranking. How do I measure up to Brother Randy? Or how do I measure up to Brother Leroy? Or how do I, well, let's see, who's more important in the body? Well, I think this one's a little bit more important in there. Do you know visibility has nothing to do with it? I'll go back to the little toe. It's covered, but it's an pretty important member of the body. And we want to be careful about ranking within the body of Christ. We this morning in the body of Christ are to be brothers and sisters. It's why we don't call the ministers reverend. There's only one reverend, and that's Christ. We don't call them father, father, rabbi, rabbi, because we are all one in Christ. And we fill different places in the body, but we all need each other. And all are important and needed. Let's move down to verse 18. He said, but now hath God set the members, everyone in the body, as it hath pleased him. The Lord was the one that set us in the body this morning. Your strengths, your weaknesses. And you know where there's no cohesion, there's no power? Where there's no cohesion, there's no power. Have you found that to be in families? Husbands and wives. Have you ever found when there's some little tensions? You know what I'm talking about. Just little tensions. And those things need to be resolved to be able to move forward. Because when there are those tensions there, it's difficult to get a lot accomplished. There's not a lot of power there. Not a lot of strength there. It's the same way in the body of Christ. There are things that the Lord wants us to resolve. Going to our Sunday school lesson on forgiveness, there are places that applies in relationships to be able to function properly as the body of Christ in unity and in oneness. The Lord wants cohesion this morning.
Moving down to verse 21, he said, "The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet." He said, "Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, they are necessary." And these members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. God, and then in verse 24, it says, "God hath tempered the body together." That is God's desire this morning, is for us to be tempered into the body of Christ. With our differences, with our uniqueness, that there would be cohesion, that there would be a working body. Verse 25, he said that there should be no schism in the body, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. In whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice. In other words, that there not be a working at cross purposes, but that the eye recognize that my function is not to hear. And what would y'all think if the eye was always trying to tell the ear how to hear? It wouldn't work very well, would it? But he doesn't want the body to be working at cross purposes, but to recognize that God set the members in the body. And if I am not the eye, I don't need to be discouraged by that when I look around and say, "Oh, I wish I could, I wish I was like them. I wish I could do what they do." Do you know God didn't create you to do what they do? God created for you to do what you can do if you'll place yourself in God's hands. Again, I know this is simplistic this morning, that you're important, you're needed, you're valuable to the Lord, to the work of God, to the body of Christ, to the congregation. Think about families. What happens to a mother that loses her purpose? What happens in the home? Don't things start falling apart? A mother that feels like, "I just have no purpose." And if you have a child, you have purpose. If you have a child, there's purpose for being and caring for and setting an example and being there to support and to nourish. In the body of Christ, there's reason for each and every one of us this morning. And then in verse 27, in closing, he said, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." You're the body of Christ. You're needed. I don't know if you're Peter, James, or John, or Andrew, or Matthew, or Timothy. You know their differences? Timothy was the one, and I just think he kind of, and this is, I know, before the Holy Spirit, but they still have personality after they got the Holy Spirit. He was the one that was always questioning things, always kind of being the one that kind of throwing a wet blanket on things. Someone, you got the Peters with the good ideas, and let's go do this, and Timothy's the one saying, Thomas was the one that was always throwing the wet blanket question. "Well, I think we just need to be careful and let's just wait a while." And it's like, Thomas, get with the program. We're not going to get anything done. But do you realize how that can balance out? It can balance out the one that has some vision and ready to go get them. So which one's not important? Do you realize that together they make a great team? They're strengthened because of their differences. And that's how it is for the body of Christ this morning. You are who you are, and God created you. God loves you like you are this morning, and His love will perfect us. It will mold us, but you're valuable, and the Lord needs you this morning.